On this episode of the Naturist Living Show, a miscellany of topics.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
Yes, a miscellany of topics, miscellaneous. A real variety show today. I couldn't find a unifying theme. I had a whole bunch of things I wanted to share with you. So that's the topic. No topic or a variety of topics. So this is episode 42. My name is Stéphane Deschaines, and I'm your host for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. I'm also the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And the first thing I want to bring you up to date on is the March record. In March, I was telling you we're going to set another record for listeners, and we did, but because it wasn't the end of the show, I knew we had exceeded the previous December record, but I didn't know the final number. So that final number was 77,726 downloads of the show in March of 2012. So that's an incredible number. I don't know what to say. And I really appreciate everybody who listens, and this is far beyond any level of listenership that I ever expected. We have a number of events every summer. I mean, we have dozens, well, it might even be hundreds of events every summer at Bear Oaks. But there are three main ones that we organize. There were three main ones. The Federation of Canadian Naturists Naturist Festival is in Quebec this year, so that was the third major event. But we did replace it this year with another one, Family Weekend. Family Weekend will be July 20th and through 22nd, and it's for families. It's for a lot of kid activities, lots of kid events. Nikki is coordinating all that, and she has a background because she used to work in a daycare with working with children, and she has lots of exciting ideas for activities and contests and games and all kinds of fun things to do for the whole weekend. So we hope this is going to be an annual event, and we hope that this will bring all the families and kids that are now members of Bear Oaks together for at least one weekend so everybody can have fun together. The other two events are volleyball tournaments. We have the 6th annual Greater Toronto Naturist Volleyball Tournament. That was the first volleyball tournament we brought into the park when I took over in December of 2006. And it's quite a good show. It's a lot of fun. The people seem to really enjoy themselves. There's games for all levels of play. There's a way to get involved. You can bring your own team. You can join a team. There's a way to be part of the tournament no matter what. So the 6th annual GTA Greater Toronto Naturist Volleyball Tournament, June 29th through July 1st. It's always the July 1st long weekend, which if you're not Canadian, that's Canada Day. Close to July 4th if you're American, but not quite. But the two holidays often end up being merged together in terms of vacations and traveling. The other volleyball tournament is the Lee Baxendall Memorial Volleyball Tournament, and that's August 17th through 19th. And this is the second time we hold it. Last year, we decided to hold another volleyball tournament with one of the Naturist clubs in the Toronto area closing that had a major tournament. That meant that people who like volleyball had lost one major tournament. And then another tournament in southwestern Ontario stopped. The owners decided they didn't want to keep hosting volleyball tournaments, so they stopped the event. So that meant that we lost two major tournaments, and so it was suggested that we could have a second one to satisfy the desires of all the volleyball players out there. So we did it. It was a lot of fun. It worked quite well. When we wanted to name it, we thought about different options, and it seemed logical to name it after someone. And it wasn't that long ago that Lee Baxendall, the founder of the Nature Society, passed away. And so it seemed fitting to name it in memory of Lee. And so we hope that this is the beginning of another long tradition of yearly volleyball tournaments, and that Lee Baxendall Cup will be won by many, many people over the next several decades. I've had several requests for a Francophone French language podcast. As most people can tell by my name, or maybe by my accent, French is my first language, and I can speak French quite well, although, to be perfectly honest, I'm more comfortable in English because I've spent most of my life in an Anglophone world, so I lack practice a little bit in French, but I'm obviously very comfortable in French, and I can speak it quite comfortably. So I finally decided to create one. So I did create the podcast, and it's called La Vie Naturiste, The Naturist Life, and it's a on Blogger, so vie-naturiste.blogspot.ca is the URL. Now, I've done the first episode. I don't plan on doing more episodes because it's just too much work. Doing this podcast in English once a month is already a lot of work, a bit more than I expected. Plus, of course, you know, my job, my family. The park, which is not my primary job still, a whole bunch of other volunteer things I do. I couldn't keep up with that, but I did want to get it started. So the good news is the whole infrastructure has been created. The first episode's been produced and published. It's out there. Now we're just looking for a Francophone to take over. And they just need to have minimal knowledge of computers and recordings, and they can do the editing themselves and just upload it to the podcast that I've created. So if you want to listen to it, there will be a link to it in the show notes, as with everything that I mention in the show. I always tell you that I love getting all the comments I get, and I really do appreciate it. I'll apologize. I know I'm a little behind in replying to some people that have sent me notes. I do reply to every comment that I get, so I will be getting back to you. I did get a comment from Jonathan and Genevieve from Columbia, Missouri, and they said, my wife and I happened upon your show while we were looking for something to listen to on a long drive to Montana. We decided to become naturists the very next week. We've been full-time naturists ever since for nearly 2 years now. You've really improved our lives. We are both naturists since forever, and we just didn't know there was a name for it. Just saying thank you, Jonathan and Genevieve, Columbia, Missouri. So I certainly don't read all of the comments on the show anymore because there's too many of them. But this was interesting because, first of all, it's flattering. A young couple would discover naturism as a result of this podcast and the work that I've been doing here for over 3 years now. And they're also a young couple. They say they're 27 and 30. So, or at least when they were when they first listened to the show, I guess. I mean, that brings together a lot of things we've talked about in the past. And so I thought it made sense to give them a call and hear a little bit more about their story.
How did you first start listening to the Naturist Living Show?
Well, we were going to my brother's wedding, it was in Montana, which is a good 24-hour drive from here. And we were just, you know, we had various podcasts. We were looking at the last minute for various shows online, and that we had very, you know, a couple of audiobooks. We had other things we were going to listen to on the way. And we just happened upon the Naturist Living Show. It was in there, and I had never been exposed to any of the ideas in the show, or really didn't know what a naturist was. I had a very conservative, fundamentalist Christian upbringing, and the general feeling of naturist was, you know, that they were people who were kind of sexually deviant, It was kind of, it was just, it never had been specifically spoken, but in the few instances where my parents had mentioned it or something, it would be kind of like, you know, there were the people who they had the naturist club or the nudist club or something, and it was kind of, you know.
You don't want to be associated with them.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be associated with them. They were, you know, dark and probably had some kind of satanic rituals or something they were doing. And just out of curiosity, we put one of the shows on there, and I don't remember, it would have been almost 2 years ago now, a year and a half at least, more than, probably almost 2 years ago now.
Almost 2 years ago.
And it was just a wonderful program. We started listening to it, and we just, we both really like just listening to different people's opinions and getting different, you know, and it was within about a week we started experimenting with naturism. And it was quite a while. We started doing home, doing it at home.
In the privacy of our home.
Yeah, in the privacy of our home. And then we went to a club probably 5 or 6 months later, the 40 Acre Club. It's very nice here in Missouri. We just really enjoyed it. It wasn't anything like we expected. It was incredible. It's so fast, the fears that we had disappeared, and we just came to realize that it's just another state of a person. Being naked is not, there is really nothing to it. There's no sexuality to it per se. There's no.
I think the only fears I had about transitioning from being at home with Jonathan, hanging out in our natural state, versus going to the 40 Acre Club was, you know, what are people going to think of me? You know, what's going to happen? You know, I'm nervous. I've never taken my clothes off in front of people and hung out and just naked before. What's the deal with that? You know, I didn't really understand what was going on. And the people that were there, the regulars who live at the club full time and do groundwork and different things like that, they were very accepting. They were like, oh, hi, how are you? It wasn't a big deal. And it just did, oh, hi, you know. Oh, so I see you have a Doctor Who license plate. Oh, we're fans of that show, you know. And they just had a conversation about it. I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, all the fears that I had associated with that just went away in that one moment.
And did you feel that you obviously enjoyed it? What did you enjoy about it?
I enjoyed that I could be naked with other people, and it wasn't a big deal. They weren't judging me. They were naked too. They were, you know, lots older than Jonathan and I were. We're in our early 30s, and these people were retirees. You know, they don't care what I look like, you know.
Oh, so you're not old, wrinkly nudists, as the rumor goes, as the only people who are interested in nudism and naturism.
No, definitely not.
Now, did it feel odd that you were in a minority as young people?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. We didn't go at the peak time for people coming to the club. So everyone who was a member, were retirees. And there was not, they don't have fast internet out there. They don't, they don't even allow you to bring your cell phones because your cell phone has a camera. Even your, small tiny phone that flips out has a camera on it now. It's not very good, but it has a camera, so you can't take that up there. So it was interesting to be completely disconnected and have nothing to do and sit and talk with these people, and that's what they do all day, is they hang out and, you know, have fun and just relax. And we're just like, we have jobs we kind of have to do. I feel like I should be doing something. You know, I'm not retired yet, so I still have to work.
But we really enjoyed it.
We enjoyed it, though.
We enjoyed talking with the people, though.
They were really nice.
They were really nice. Everyone was wonderful. Like, it was fun. We went and went swimming, and it was very freeing to be able to experience that. And just a completely liberated. And also, I would have to say the people there's a certain kind of person who is very open-minded and who is experienced, is... wonderful. Just the people who do that, they're adventurous people, and no matter what age they are, those kind of people are always interesting. You know, that almost always will bridge a gap in a sense, because they're adventurous people, and that's fun. They were very interesting, and they were you know, interested in us. We were interested in them, and we talked about, you know, we talked about Doctor Who, which was a cross generational thing, you know, and had a great time.
And how we found naturism and different things like that, and how we found them. We went looking online for different clubs, and there, I think it was in like September that we went there, so it was kind of chilly out. And the water was even colder. Jonathan went swimming. I opted not to because I would be too cold. But they were the only one that was open year-round. Everyone else was only open seasonally. So that was kind of interesting.
You've become naturists, and that was a long way, as you said, at the beginning from where you were. Have you told other people?
Yeah. We have a lot of friends we've told. It's and we're it's kind of a thing where we're, you know, it's just another state, the way that we look at it. And so we try to be very, it's not really important. You know, if I wore robes or a kilt or something, you know, I wouldn't go and tell everybody per se. But if it comes up, sure, I think most of our friends and family know about it. And we're proud of it. I mean, you know, in our everyday lives, we live as naturists. And
so what kind of reactions did you get when you tell people?
I think that it we've never had any negative reactions. We've never had any negative reactions from anybody. I think that people, there's kind of a cognitive dissonance or something. People will, it's not exactly negative, but they don't really know how to react to it.
Why would you want to do that? That's so crazy.
Yeah,
you know, that sort of thing. Versus, oh, that's really interesting. Did you know that, you know, in ancient Greece, people were naked all the time? No, I did not know that. No one ever says the second to us. They're always just like, why would you want to do that? That's so crazy.
Did you tell your parents as well?
Yeah, she hasn't really had the opportunity to do that, but I have, and I think, and I've talked to I have a lot of friends who are Christians and very conservative. And I don't think it's incompatible with that. We've talked about, for example, the Apostle Paul, when he says you should run the race, which is the Christian terminology, the race that he's talking about was ran in the nude. The Olympic Games were run naked. And I think that that's very interesting. A lot of people wouldn't really realize that, you know, it was much more common. And obviously, I think you've done shows on this, so we just talk about it, and it really isn't an issue. I think the big thing is that in this, there's a huge culture of skinny dipping in this part of our country. It's really common. I did it as a kid. I grew up doing it, and our family kind of did it. You know, my mom never participated. My dad sure did. And we just go down to the river, and there would be nobody within 30 miles or something in the woods, you know, and we'd go swimming, and that was how we did it, and we didn't really think about it. And we didn't know that we were naturists or nudists or anything. And I have a lot of friends that do the exact same thing. In fact, every friend I can think of has done that at least some point. Usually it's during their college years or their late high school years, you know, when they're still experimenting and still really excited and doing those kinds of things. You know, it's a very common thing, and you know, and it, but it isn't, nobody know, nobody, there's no advocacy for it. Nobody knows that they're naturist. Nobody knows that they're nudist. No one gets together for it. And I think that's wonderful, finding out that, you know, that there is this thing called naturism. And that people have actually thought about the ideas behind it. That's wonderful.
You know, you can go on a naked cruise. I didn't know you'd go on a naked cruise. That's kind of cool. Where do I sign up for that, you know? And it's not advocated. And it's sort of sad because you kind of have to discover it.
I have a lot of friends outside the naturist world, of course, as most people do, because we don't live in a naturist world, so most people have a lot of textile friends. And so do I, and I have a lot of interesting conversation because, of course, being that I'm very public and that I'm not just a naturist, but that I run a naturist park in Bear Oaks, that raises a lot of questions, and it's a good topic for discussion. And the other day, I had a discussion with my good friend Christine, who I met initially through the local business association. And it was interesting because, you know, some people are afraid to talk about it, but she wasn't afraid to sort of discuss why she felt the way she did. How would you feel if you saw me naked?
I just think it would just change our friendship. That's all.
And how would it change it?
I don't have an answer for that. I never have had an answer for that.
Could we still be friends, you think?
If you had your clothes on, I'd be totally okay with it.
But once you'd see me naked, our friendship would be different?
Yeah. But I have no, we have had this discussion. I have absolutely no reason or no anything, no explanation for how come it would. I don't have any explanation. I never have. And I never will.
But you think you'd feel different about me?
Absolutely.
Do you have any idea what those feelings would be?
Embarrassment.
For me or for you?
For me. It's like the whole naked yoga thing. There's no difference. It just makes me giggle. I was brought up in an extremely modest family, like beyond modest. I never, ever, ever saw my dad even in underwear. Like, that would just be like, oh. I'm not like that myself around my own children, my husband, what have you. But I grew up in a very loving but strict family who are morals and beliefs and just very modest. We were brought up extremely modest. And as an adult now, it's different for my brother and I, I'm sure. I can't speak for him 100%. But we, you know, as children, we pranced around naked and swam naked. And I went topless forever. But it's just different.
So do you have any women friend that you've seen naked at the gym, in the change room, or at the pool?
I don't work out. have I seen any of my women friends naked? Not that I know of.
So you haven't had to face that either?
No, absolutely not. And I'm okay with that.
So she's a good sport for having the discussion and not shying away from it, because it is an emotional reaction, and that's the difficulty. You know, I'm having a rational argument, and the people on the other side, the textiles, are usually having an emotional one, but they're trying to rationalize it, and it's very difficult. But the whole idea of seeing somebody nude changing the relationship is an interesting one. I mean, it's certainly, if, you know, nudity is tied to sexuality, that makes sense, because if you are being sexually intimate with someone, you are changing your relationship with them. And so perhaps there's a mix-up that happens in the mind and emotionally, the assumption that if you see someone nude, it will have the same relationship-changing impact as if you slept with them. Obviously, that's not true, and as a naturist, we know that, but I can certainly see how from the outside it might seem that way. But I think there's more to it as well. I think there's a power issue. You know, nudity is certainly used as a tool for power, or it has been in the past, you know, whether it's the police strip searching you, or, you know, being stripped in prisons and being forced to being marched nude. There's a power situation going on there, where the dressed people, at least in that situation, feel more powerful and in charge, and the nude people feel very vulnerable and weak and subservient almost. I think that feeling still exists. When you see someone nude, you assume the other person is embarrassed, which is why the person who sees them nude might themselves be embarrassed, because they don't want to cause the embarrassment. They don't want to be humiliating them. clearly that's not the situation with me, and it's not the situation in a naturist environment. But if you've never been in one, that's hard to imagine, because the only thing you can judge by is your own experiences, and having not had the experience, that's what you can imagine happening. Many times I've heard people talk about how they certainly couldn't be nude with their coworker because they wouldn't be able to work with them again. Perhaps it's this feeling that if they saw you nude, there would be some sort of power they had over you, some sort of control. And there must be some sort of power ownership situation. I mean, you hear it from spouses. The only person who sees my wife or husband nude is me because, you know, that's my prerogative and my privilege. Well, that sure sounds like ownership, doesn't it? And, you know, when a celebrity poses nude, there's a great demand for that. Like, everybody wants to see them nude, so there's a, people are paid, the celebrities are paid large sums in some cases to pose nudes for magazines. And then when they do, lots of people purchase the magazine so they can see them nude, as if somehow they get something that's important. And I think part of that feeling is some sort of ownership that they can have over that person. It's kind of sad. It's a little weird when you really think about it logically, but I think there's something to it. Marc-Alain Descamps, who is a really brilliant French social psychologist, has a few PhDs, and he wrote a couple of books, including a thesis on naturism. And he talks about having three types of nudity. He talks about, and I'm translating, so forgive me if the words are not exactly perfect, but he talks about the nudity as the undressed, and that's what we see in theaters, and that's nudity that's erotic and it's provocative, and that's where you are stripping for others, or the nudity definitely has a sexual context to it. He also talked about nudity that is stripped, and that's where people are undressed by force, and that's where nudity is used to humiliate. But we as naturists bring in a third type of nudity, a more normalized nudity, of course. He calls it gymnity, after gymnos, which is the Greek word for nudity, hence, as we've talked about, gymnasium, which is a place where you exercise nude, at least according to the Greeks. And there, the nudity becomes more of a symbol. It becomes a tool for that acceptance of self and others and getting closer to nature. It's a way to normalize ourselves and our bodies and who we are. And I think there's something really important in that concept. And we're going to be hearing more from Marc-Alain Descamps in a future episode of the Naturist Living Show. I received notice of a new book. It's called Rape by Clothing by Guido Negro. And so he was very kind and sent me a copy of his book, because I never talk or recommend a book if I haven't read it, because I've seen too many books that call themselves naturist books or nudist books, and they're not. They're exploitive, the author doesn't understand naturism or nudism, whatever, it doesn't present it right. So I was always cautious. In this case, the book is actually not about naturism. It's a book about it's set in the future, and the future is a little bit Orwellian, and it's not a pretty place. And a lot of it has to do with this fear of nudity, and the future that Guido Negro imagines is based on some of the things he sees happening today and that concern him a great deal. So I gave Guido a call, and we had a little chat about his book.
Why don't we start by you telling me how you came to write the book?
Okay. First, thank you for having me there. And starting with my book started when I realized that there are no story about what I call non-sexual nudity. I am a nudist since the age of 13. And during my life, I experienced so many beautiful sensations being nude with others when I was young, and then now I'm 50 plus, and I'm still a nudist. Actually, I prefer to call myself a naturist, because what's happening is that I feel in tune with nature, and that is why I take my clothes off, because I want to feel in tune with nature. Now, what has happened during my long life began definitely very young, when I started to see the difference that there was between myself and the other teenagers at my school. Now, I started to be a nudist when in the 70s, when in Italy, and basically, to me, going to the nudist, Italian nudist beach then, now I'm living in Australia, but then was Italian nudist beach, was a normal thing to do. I even have two friends that happen to be girls that I will meet there by now and then. So I realized that to me, nudity wasn't a big problem. But to the people of other people of the class at my school, yes, it was. When I start to tell them that I was going by now and then at this Italian nudist beach, and I wasn't interacting with these two girls, that to me they were friends, actually, I felt them like sisters, more or less, more than friends, they couldn't understand. I realized then that the situation is, and in fact, that you probably were a little bit... many people have been scared of the title. The title of my book is Rape by Clothing. Why Rape by Clothing? Rape by Clothing is because imposing clothing all the time, to me, is a form of rape. Now, what has happened is that later in life, I realized that while I was not interested in pornography, or misbehavior, or missexual behavior, was thanks to nudism. Because the majority of the population, and I put it very clearly in my book, in the story, they link nudity with sex only because they never have experienced non-sexual nudity or naturism. And that's why a few years back, I start to think about it, that maybe I can bring all this information in a form of a story that to the general population, because the general population don't know what we are talking about.
I mean, a lot of people have been obviously interested in naturism over the years, but not everyone, or very few in fact, go and write a novel about it. What made you decide to write a novel?
I decided to write a novel because I believed it was about time that we had our literature. We should have long ago, and that is what decided to write a novel. I write a novel where... basically, in my novel, there is an alarm bell that sound, because what I'm worried about it is the rise of a creationism. In fact, in my novel, I'm touching different subjects. I'm not touching just the subject of non-sexual nudity, but my novel starts with a world, a dark world, where creation is the one. Now, if you think of it, if creationists will take over the planet, or at least a country, what will happen is roughly what I describe in the book.
So the book, which is a fairly dark, oppressive world in the future that you tell, it seems to be, as you're talking, very reflective of your own beliefs. And in the book, you're very critical of the nudists and naturists, and they're blamed for, partially at least, for what happened. Is that how you feel today?
Well, the problem is that it's amazing that you are interviewing me from Canada. And I also have a very good friend that is supporting me. Her name is Melissa. She is a fantastic person. And she lives in Los Angeles. She wrote, and probably that's why you know about me. I believe you read the article of Melissa de Janud, correct?
Yes, I think I did.
Yes. Now, what's happened is that that when I went to the local nudist, and I even a member of a local nudist club, I'm not going to mention which is it, just in case, because. But for example, I am today interviewed by you in Canada, and I speak regularly with Melissa via Skype. And actually, I would like to make an announcement. Melissa is trying to help me to put up a new website that will be called nudeeducation.com. According to Melissa, nude, and of course, according to me, this is an idea, my idea, this could really revolutionize nudism as we know it, because a lot of people don't know what we are all about. But coming back to the local one, imagine that I send an email to the secretary of a local nudist club when Melissa wrote the article, and then I send an email to the president of another nudist club. I didn't receive a single reply. At the same time, around the same time, I received your email from Canada. So the point is that I was much more lucky to be today interviewed by you, and they know about the book. They had just to say, Guido, come to my house and give me a copy of the book, or let's discuss what you have in mind. And I didn't receive any reply, not yet at least. And that is, I believe, is why at least in Perth, I cannot talk about the Australian Nudist Federation because I haven't contacted them. Maybe I should have. But I didn't receive any help when I was writing the book. And even after the book was published, and even after that, my friend Melissa wrote about me on the Bear Time, still they didn't reply to my email.
So you were not just critical of nudists and naturists in this story for letting this change in the world happen. You're very critical of the media. Is that how you feel about the media today?
Well, I don't know what the situation is in Canada. But definitely what's happened is that the media is definitely what I believe is that the media and power, they got together. So I believe that in a world where the creationists will win, what the media will do will challenge the powerful. The media never challenge the powerful. So they will alienate themselves with whatever is in charge. And that's why I am very critical of the media, but at the same time, for example, the reporter, the fictional reporter, eventually she changed her mind, but in a world like that, she is put off air because the world that I'm describing is where a world where the truth may never be known. But there is hope, because at the end of the book, there is a growing number of people that will really, in the future, in fact, I'm thinking to write a second book, a sequel to this one, where finally, well, I don't want to say anything because I'm just in the process of thinking about it, but maybe I will definitely write a sequel. We must have a second story, but at the moment, of course, I'm still trying to sell this story to the general public.
So the book is a good read. I wouldn't say it's the most sophisticated writing I've ever read, but it's still well thought out. I really like the story, I like the concept. It makes you think, and I think that's what's important. And the messages are good, the messages are right, and I think there is definitely something to be concerned about and something to think about. It's a story of fiction, and it was an easy read, and I enjoyed reading it. And so I would recommend it to anybody who's looking for some fiction that is based on naturist values. About a year ago, we had the preview of the movie Act Naturally, and I covered that extensively on this show. And we had the director at that time talk about it before we had the preview, the nude showing at the Fox Theater in Toronto. And we also had the director and some of the actors also on the show being interviewed after the fact. And I thought I would catch up with the director, J.P. Riley, and see how things are going.
All right. So, you know, it's been about a year since we talked about Act Naturally. Almost, it's getting close to a year since we did the screening in Toronto. So what's been happening?
We have world premiered at our first festival in Chicago last September while we were on the Bear With Us tour. We were actually driving from Miami to New York when we found out we got accepted to the Chicago United Film Festival.
Awesome.
And we had been on tour for so long, we almost forgot that we applied before we left L.A. And it was a pleasant surprise when we got to a world premiere at the Music Box Theater, which was officially our first closed screening. So we weren't so sure how it was going to go because it would be the first time anyone had been watching a movie with clothes on. And to much to our surprise, it sold out.
Awesome.
And that is where we had, after the Chicago screening, we had several offers to distribute the movie, and we decided to pursue a couple of them. And pre-screen was the one who ended up coming through in the end, everything that we were asking for.
So what is pre-screen?
Pre-screen is a brand new company. They actually haven't even launched yet when they came to see us in Chicago. They are a company that is the executive founders of Groupon and one of the senior vice presidents of Facebook, the CEO of Netflix and Redbox, and the former CEOs of Blockbuster sit on their advisory board.
Wow.
And so we are going to be among the first movies that are for sale with Facebook integration. So you'll be able to rent the movie we're two clicks away from being able to rent on Facebook.
Very cool. So when is that starting? When are people who are listening going to be able to do that?
April 27th, this coming Friday.
Well, actually, by the time this interview airs, it will be live. So where do they go?
They go to prescreen.com, and we're going to be the featured movie on the homepage. And if they click like on our trailer, they'll be able to see on Facebook, and people will be able to rent it through Facebook, which is something that Steve Jobs was trying to do, and many, many companies have tried to do and haven't been able to get done. And we will be among the first movies where you can actually get the movie rented through finding it on Facebook.
Oh, that's very cool. A lot of power there. You might be getting a huge amount of audience there.
Which is one of the reasons we decided to move forward with them. Because we also kind of figured it'd be kind of fitting since Facebook has been the people who keep taking our one sheets offline. We've had lots of trouble with Facebook, and we get these little messages from the community standards saying that our one sheet, our poster, is acceptable for Facebook standards, and our Facebook one sheet is fine. You can see more in a Miley Cyrus, you know, vacation bikini picture than what you can see on our poster. But yeah, we've still had trouble with Facebook and telling us that what our poster is obscene. So we figured it would be kind of fitting that our movie would be among the first to be for sale through them.
Sometimes it certainly seems like Facebook is run by the vocal moral minority.
I agree with you 100%. But no, it's really exciting time, and the movie's only going to be $4 to rent. And you'll be able to watch it on any computer or game top box or any electronic device that's compatible with your TV set. So yeah, if you have Apple TV or Xbox 360 or PlayStation or any set-top box that's internet compatible, you'll be able to you can run it on anything, any computer that has an internet connection in the world. But if you have your computer hooked up to a set-top box, you'll be able to watch it on your TV, and it'll stream in HD quality.
Okay, good.
Well, and it's only $4.
I'm watching it because I got the DVD. That's even better.
Oh, did you get your DVDs?
Yeah.
So, I'm glad to hear that.
So what's if people want to get a DVD, how can they get a DVD?
They can go to actuallymovie.com for the next week, and then for 60 days, it'll be exclusively only on pre-screen. But we'll be available nowhere else for 60 days except for these few theatrical screenings we have coming up in New York and London and L.A. And then once those 60 days are over, it'll be available again, only probably more so on Netflix and the iTunes store. And once our 60-day exclusive is up with pre-screen on their homepage, we will be available to more outlets following those 60 days.
Good. Including, so of course, the Bear Boutique.
Yes, indeed. They will be available at the Bear Boutique.
So going back to last summer, you know, Bear Oaks and Toronto was one of the first stops. How did the rest of the summer go?
Yeah, I believe it was the second stop we made after New York. The rest of the summer was magical. I mean, that kind of took off from there. We ended up not going home until I believe we were in Bear Oaks in June, and we didn't make it home until almost November.
Wow.
Because we kept getting more people calling us to screen the movie. I think our last stop on the tour was October 15th in Houston, and then we drove to Austin and did one more screening in Austin, and I believe we got home in late October, early November. So it was we ended up extending the tour by more people just calling us and asking us to come through and screen it for them. And it ended up paying back, you know, two of our investors, and it got me out of credit card debt.
Nice. Well, yeah, you know, you must be one of the people that have visited the most naturist nudist places in North America. So what did you learn?
We learned that our audience is amazing. We also learned there's a few places that you know, promised to have more guests than they did. But for the most part, we learned that our audience is about the most supportive audience you'll ever hope to find. I don't think too many people can say they've been to 75 nudist resorts in a year.
In their life, never mind a year.
We were in New York for New Year's Eve. We did a New Year's Eve screening and with YNA, and the fire marshal ended up shutting it down because there were too many people.
Wow.
And my friend Dan went out to sushi with us the next day and goes, you know, I guarantee you there aren't too many people who can say they've been to as many nudist resorts as you have in a year. He goes, I might, if I were you, I would call Guinness to find out if you set some sort of world record. To see if you visit the most nudist resorts in a year. I don't know if we set a world record or not, but I doubt there are too many people who can say with a straight face they've been to almost 100 of them in a year.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I will definitely be posting. I'll be posting a link on the show notes, and when it is live, I will be posting it on the Bear Oaks Facebook page too. So hopefully we can help drive more people to watch the movie, eh?
Yeah, well, we're just ecstatic that there's another way to see it besides, you know, on our website and seeing it through our screenings. And we've also felt really strongly that we needed to get a cheaper way to see it because not everybody can afford, you know, $30 for a DVD. And as much as we'd love to charge less for them, that's like, you know, $30 at that rate is just barely making any money on them. And the overhead for us is so high that we didn't think it's fair that, like, you know, some of our most loyal fans weren't necessarily some of the richest fans, so we wanted to find it was affordable to get it out to them, and we worked really hard with pre-screen to be able to get that, to make that realistic in a very short amount of time. So we're really happy that we found an agreement that's both creatively profitable and profitable for business, which is what pre-screen really ended up being, was something that was both good for business and something that was good for the movie. Because we ended up retaining the rights to the movie by going with pre-screen, but we still own the rights to the film, so we can still take it to other vendors and we get a fair commission for the role, which we thought was really something that was rare. And they just seemed like a new company that seemed to have a lot on the ball, and they had a lot of good minds working for them. And I think they, the pre-screen understands that the movie industry isn't just as much, you know, it could go as, if we don't make changes now, it could go in the same direction as the music industry went, which is, things got pretty dark.
Well, that's all for this episode of The Naturist Living Show. Thank you, as always, for listening. My name is Stéphane Deschaine, and I was your host for this latest podcast. I'm also the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. You can find links to all of the items that I mentioned in the show on our website at naturistliving.bearoaks, B-A-R-E, of course, bearoaks.ca. You can also send us a note and keep your suggestions and comments coming. I appreciate reading every one of them. The show's email address is naturistliving@bearoaks.ca. That's B-A-R-E, bearoaks.ca, because we are in Canada. Join us again in about a month for the next episode of The Naturist Living Show.
This episode of The Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park, traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social, and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bearoaks.ca.